Welcome back to Your Daily Dose. It's me, Nick. I spent a lot of time at the Fringe this year, at my typewriter table and watching shows. It felt great when people I knew came by and I could recommend what to see, what to do, what to eat. I was also watching shows with a little bit of a new perspective and connecting some that had similarities and some that were on different ends of the spectrum. Bookend shows, if you will. Enjoy.
The only way I could think of them is bookend shows.
But what do you think, the bookend shows?
Yeah, so shows that you could watch either back to back or at the beginning and end of Fringe, and there is some sort of complementary feel to them.
Okay, give me an example.
And so the Merkin Sisters.
Oh, yes.
And Generic Male.
Okay, yes.
So
that was another physical
theater.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think in both of them, I was expecting a lot of physical comedy. I was not expecting so much verbal comedy. Like, I was almost thinking it was more Mr. Bean than Monty Python.
Ah.
And so that beautiful combination of both. And in the case of the Generic Male show, it was a little bit of interpretive dance. It was a little bit of just movement and almost clowning, a little bit of mime. And it was just so good. And whereas the Merkin Sisters, as we've discussed, like, there was nudity in that, but it was artistic nudity.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Generic Male, there was almost this strip off between the two of them that was very much a different feel. But because it was men, it had this different feel to it, where it was like, this is fair is fair.
That sounds really, really like bookends. You get the females and the males.
Yep.
You get both of them with the physical comedy and the nudity and the smashing up of genres. By the way you just described the Merkin Sisters, I thought you were describing Generic Male.
Yeah,
but that way.
But both.
What a beautiful way to describe
it.
The Monty Python and the Mr. Bean mixed up because of that physicality, but also that absurdist kind of.
For sure.
Really, yeah, good.
And there was stuff that I was genuinely delighted by. And so for something to delight me, it really has to be like, I wish I thought of that.
I love it. And that's how I feel too.
Yeah. And so I think there was those two. I think there were, Mark came down and he asked me to go to Multitudes with him. Which is, I want to say the gentleman's name is Timothy Williams. He's a local.
Yes, I saw the write-up on that. They got a really good write-up.
Local guy, and this is his first attempt at
writing. He's a fantastic actor.
And being in his own thing. And it was fantastic. So that one, and I Broke My Heart Twice.
Oh.
The way those started out as almost comedy, almost documentaries, like a different way of telling a story. And then, I don't want to say devolved, but evolved into them taking on these characters of, in the case of Multitudes, this cult leader and cult member. And in the case of I Broke My Heart Twice, herself. So it kind of started out one way and you didn't know where it was going to go in both cases.
Very cool.
So I really enjoyed those two. I think you could watch those two back to back. And then from a very personal standpoint, and so somebody came up, one of the people who had the You Belong Here, and she said, and I love this because at first I thought this was a compliment to me. And she goes, oh, I saw your show last year. I have this. Are you doing a show this year? And I go, oh, no, Bob and I are taking this year off. And she goes, no, he's doing a show. And I'm like, son of a, is he cheating on me? Is Bob cheating on me?
I would never.
And so it turns out she had mistaken you for Paul Strickland.
I take that as a compliment.
And exactly. Yeah. Now that I've seen Paul Strickland, because I didn't really know who he was, I was like,
fantastic.
Oh, I'm the memorable one of the two of us. This is great. I love this.
So good. Well, obviously I'm not that memorable because she mistook me for somebody else.
Well, it turns out that if you're going to be mistaken for anybody, Paul Strickland, whose show I saw, was amazing.
Take it. I didn't see a show this year, but I've seen the show previous years.
And he's so good.
He's brilliant. He's a wonderful storyteller. He's an awesome musician. He's accessible. He's interesting. And he's got a beautiful sense of timing in the way that he tells his stories and how he works his music into his show. He's extraordinary.
But the thing I took away from his show that, and I wish I had reversed this out because I'll talk about the show I saw immediately after in a second. But the thing I took away from his show, which I don't think I had internalized at all, even from people telling me that they liked our show, was afterwards this warm feeling of, and he gave something out. There was a story behind it. Like, here, go tell your own stories. Go connect with people. It's very similar to ours in terms of the
empowering
message.
Empowering people, yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is what I think people felt like after seeing our show.
Oh, I hope so.
And I was like, oh, this is great. This is amazing. And then I went to see another show. I won't name it because...
Wait, was it a bookend to Paul Strickland?
It is a bookend to Paul Strickland, but it was something. So if Paul Strickland's was something that I hoped that we accomplished last year, this other show was something that I know I would have written as a younger man.
Right.
Just so, just not good. Not good for me. I think a lot of people enjoyed it. I think it was a very popular show, but it was so overdone and in many ways juvenile, and it had such a great concept. This is me in a nutshell. Great concept,
right,
terrible execution.
And you told me about this concept, which I also agreed when you described it. I'm like, ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Nine and times I out of ten, you. I would go see that.
You're a class act for not slaying them on on the air, because here's the thing, I don't think it's necessary. I mean, if you were a paid critic, you have an obligation to tell your truth through the medium that you're being paid for.
Well, and even that, I would be, for Fringe, I would be like, here are some issues, but here's what's good about it.
That is my podcast partner in a nutshell. He'll tell you the truth, and he'll find something good to say in the process. Nick was responsible for my whole Fringe experience this year. I was committed to staying in my cave and avoiding the crowds, but Nick talked me into stepping out, and I'm grateful for that encouragement. It reminds me that sometimes we really don't know what's best for ourselves, and it takes a friend to point the way and give us a little nudge. That does it for this episode of Your Daily Dose. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you tomorrow.